this is the new Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life."
Morning, everybody. Great to see everybody gathered here this morning for our worship and this wonderful opportunity now to look into God's word together. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you came to die for us. And we thank you that you have good things for us, both now and yet to come. Teach us, encourage us, challenge and inspire us, that we might walk more closely with you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Jude said, we come to our final week of what I hope you'll agree has been a great sermon series. We entitled it Heaven Touching Earth. And today we have this most amazing and wonderful passage in the Bible. You may even say, we have saved the best till last. The truth, this truth from the Bible is such good news. We are shown what is to come. It's not just heaven touching earth, it's heaven and earth coming together. It's a new heaven and a new earth. It is the hope of all that is to come for those who believe in Jesus, for those who are his followers. Well, as I look out, I'm aware that a lot of people here are car drivers, and I look also and see, well, even if you're not a car driver, then you still fairly regularly sit in a car. So I'd like to place you in the front of a car, either the driving seat or the passenger seat. And then you see this. And what you see here is the fact that everybody's windscreen is big in comparison to the rear view mirror, which is small. And there's a very good reason for this. In driving, we are to look ahead. We are to look at what lies ahead and then occasionally look what's behind us. The windscreen is relatively big compared to the rear view mirror, relatively small. And we're looking today at what is to come. But we are also going to ask, what difference does it make to us today? So if you like, we're mainly looking through the windscreen to look at what lies ahead. But before I park up, we'll have a look in the rearview mirror to bring us back to today, to life now. And I'm going to explore this looking ahead and then looking at what today is by using three headings, three words. Kainos, confidence, and courage. So you might be thinking, what's Manda written here and said? What's that first word? Now you can see that that first word is kainos. Now in our reading today, the word new appears four times. And the word that's being used is kainos. As we look ahead, we see that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, a new city or a new Jerusalem, and then the one on the throne saying, I am making all things new. Now, I hope you're particularly enjoying my lovely Leicestershire East Midlands flat vowels accent on new. Well, it doesn't matter whether you are or not. You're going to spot it from now on in, that's for sure. So as I say, the Greek word being used here is kainos. Now, I'll put my hand up and say, I don't like making too many references to the Greek, and I'll only do so when I'm speaking if I think it really helps us. And I think today it really does help us. So here in Revelation 21, the word kainos, meaning new, is used. But that's not the usual word used for new in the Bible. Not the usual word used for new in the New Testament. The usual word that's used is neos. So let's have a look at the difference between neos and kainos. This week, unfortunately, we needed two new tyres on our car. They'd worn down. Well, you won't be surprised to hear that Halfords don't produce their paperwork in Greek, but if they did, when they referred to our new tyres, they would use the word neos. Neos refers to it being chronologically new. So previously we had these, but now time has moved on, chronological order, and now we've got these. They are new, neos. But here in Revelation 21, the word kainos is used. And new here means something qualitatively different. It's something completely new. It's a fresh design. God will make everything new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And it will be qualitatively different. It will be a new design. God is creator, and he has an endless capacity for creating. So as we look through the windscreen, we look ahead and we see that God will restore everything. He will recreate. That's his promise to us. And it is not a case of patching up the old. It will be a new design. This is good news. This brings amazing hope. We look at our world and we might sigh. We might shed a tear. We know our world is hurting and broken. But we're told here in God's word that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And because of the word that's used, it's telling us it will be qualitatively different. And if it's going to be completely different, qualitatively different, a new design, then it's true to say that it will feel unfamiliar to us. But unfamiliar in a really good way. So let's explore what this new will look like by looking in verses 3 and 4. Firstly then, if you've got your Bibles open, look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and women, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We talked the other week, didn't we, about how in the Bible, if things are repeated, God wants us to know it. It's important. Look how often this verse, this one verse, talks about God will be with us. Three times in one verse, God is with them. God is with those who are in heaven. Now, if you're Sunday morning awake, you might be sat there thinking, hang on a minute, Mandy, you've been with us 4.5 years and we've had vicars before you, and you and other people, I'm sure, have been saying, God is with you. It's part of our liturgy, part of our responses at times. So what are you saying now? Well, yes, God is with us now, but as we look ahead to what is to come, God will be with us and we will be with God in a new and different way, in a very unique and intimate way. What is being said here is that God will tabernacle with us. Do you remember up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter wanted to make shelters, to make tabernacles to stay there. There's a sense here that we will tabernacle with God. What it's basically saying is in the new heaven and the new earth, God moves into the neighborhood and asks us to move in with him. And it will be a qualitatively different relationship. No more behind the veil. No more looking through a glass darkly. The closest, most intimate relationship we could ever wish for. Something we can't completely know here on earth, even though we can know God with us. What a wonderful thing we have now, knowing that God is with us now, but how even more wonderful dwelling with God will be. How more wonderful this dwelling with God that awaits us in heaven for all those who believe in Jesus. Anyone who believes in Jesus, we are his people, and we will be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. That's verse 3 then. Let's have a look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Wow. A further look at how things will be so amazingly different. Do you know, this is one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. If you had to list the most awful things that we experience as humans here on earth, surely death and mourning and pain and crying would be in that list. When we look through the windscreen, when we look at what is to come, we see that crying has an expiry date. Pain has an expiry date. Mourning has an expiry date. Even death has an expiry date. There will be no more. Just sit and ponder the joy and hope and wonderfulness of that a moment. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more crying. Don't know about you, but we're always placing a box of tissues in most rooms. Hopefully not for crying, but, you know, whenever we might need one. No boxes of tissues in heaven. No more crying. We will have all known days of tears in our lives. I remember the day my mum died, the day my dad died. Amongst us gathered here today, there will have been tears of regret, tears of loneliness, tears of poverty, tears from being let down, tears of sympathy for others. You may be experiencing days or hours of tears at the moment. May you know the comfort of God that's on offer now, but may you also look ahead to the hope that is to come of no more crying. Every tear will be wiped away. But also hear this amazing words, there'll be no more death. My Google search, how many people will die in the next 24 hours? 150,000 people will die in the next 24 hours across this world. Death scars life, but not in heaven. There'll be no death. And so no funerals, no crematoria or cemeteries, and no living in fear of death. And then there'll be no more pain. Those of us with aches and pains this morning rejoice to hear that. Hallelujah, indeed. I couldn't find the British statistic, but the American statistic about, well, have a think, what do you reckon? How much do you reckon is spent every year on over-the-counter painkillers? $22 billion. $22 billion, that's a lot of pain that needs easing. And that's just over-the-counter. That's not what's used in prescription or in hospitals. In heaven, there will be no more pain. This is all such a wonderful scene. It brings so much hope. This is good news. Is this the windscreen you're looking through and looking ahead to? But we all know that by knowing Jesus and God now, we do have an amazing Christian life, walking with Jesus, knowing the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you'll agree with this next sentence. Let's talk about it over coffee and at Digging Deeper. But as good as the Christian life is here, there is something missing. The wonderful Christian writer, theologian C.S. Lewis said this: if I find in myself a desire which no experiences in this world can satisfy, the only possible explanation is that I am made for another world. We are made for a relationship with God. And we can know that relationship now through all that Jesus has done and our giving thanks and believing in that and in him. But we're made for another world, for it is in heaven where this relationship with God will be close and intimate. The Apostle Paul writes in his letters to churches, for we are citizens of heaven. That's our home. We're strangers here. We are made for another world. I wanted to share one thing with you that I'm so excited about in terms of heaven, is that we won't need faith anymore. I won't need to believe, for I will be seeing. I will be seeing Jesus face to face. So what I've talked about here is skimming the surface of this passage. There is so much in it. But I've had a look through the windscreen of all that is to come. Jesus says, it is done. It's done. I was fortunate to have a period of studying when I was a speech therapist, and I did an MPhil looking at how well speech therapists give a service to people from an Asian or Caribbean background. Do you know, when I submitted my MPhil, apparently for 3 days with the people I saw, I just kept going, ah. I didn't know I was doing it. I was so relieved. It had been bound and submitted. It was done. Jesus says, it is done. On the cross, he said, it is finished. And here on the throne in heaven, as John is giving this vision, Jesus says, it is done. He's done everything that is needed for our salvation and for our enjoyment of heaven. Jesus said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning at the end. He was there in Genesis, at creation, at the beginning, part of creating the world. And he's there at the end, seated on the throne, as we thought about last week with the ascension. Jesus has done it all. He has achieved it all for us if we believe and trust in him. And what he has achieved for us, our forgiveness, but also what's promised ahead, is so glorious. Well, that's a bit of a look through the windscreen. And I promise you, the next bit's really short. But what about this look in the rearview mirror? We ask the question, as we look at Scripture, what difference does that make for us today? Well, as I've been talking, I have repeatedly used the word hope. We have an amazing hope because of what is to come. May your hope be enlarged and amplified today. But when I put that slide up with three words, the second and third words were confidence and courage. Looking at the end times and at what lies ahead builds confidence in our amazing God, in all that Jesus has done for us. And so confidence in the incredible good news that is the Christian faith. For Christians, it is completely true that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I hope this will give us all courage. And I'm going to say it, I say things like this quite often, courage to share this good news with others. Seeing what is to come, surely we don't want anyone to miss out on that. Surely you don't want to miss out on that. So do talk to someone, do read some more, do think and pray if you want to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm in, yes, please. But also for others. If we love and care for anyone, we surely want them to be part of this new heaven and new earth. So I ask you today, at the beginning of Lent, would you start asking God and start thinking which friend or family member you're going to invite on Easter Sunday morning? We've spent 6 weeks looking at heaven touching earth. And here today we've seen the beautiful truth of the new, the qualitatively different, fresh design of the new heaven and new earth. The absence of pain, crying, mourning, and death. Plus the amazing dwelling with God we'll experience. May we rejoice in this hope. But may we also live well now. Looking ahead, but being here. Being here because we know there are green shoots. We know that heaven touches earth. God's voice, God's presence, his healing, his comfort. For when you say yes to Jesus, sorry for what you've done, and I want to follow you and be your apprentice, your disciple, your follower, then we gain eternal life. But eternal life starts right at that moment. Eternal life is one of those things that's both now and yet to come. Live in it and enjoy it. But also the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, is both now and not yet fully here. As we see the snowdrops, the crocuses, the primroses, the daffodils, may we also be mindful to see the signs of heaven, of eternity, of the kingdom of God in our own lives, in our church, in our community, and we pray, Lord, that we would see them in our world, the worlds that one day you will recreate and make completely new. So, Lord, all I want to do now is just to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your presence and sustaining of us as we walk the earth. But we thank you that the best is yet to come. May we know it and may we share it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.